Hello, 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 and welcome back to my station. Today, I'm excited because I'm interviewing Aisha, and I'm here with her now, and I've been thinking about this, and you know how, like, I feel like somebody was telling me, like, this is a season of, like, manifestation, mm-hmm. or just, you know, things are just happening. And although some things that I expected to happen around this time, they didn't happen, but for me to be here with you is dope. I'm so, because, I mean, how many times have I told you, like, I want you on my podcast, I want you on my podcast, you know? And that's just, like, that procrastination and dragging the feet. But we are here today, so, yeah, I'm here with Aisha Campbell. Aisha, I'm going to let you introduce yourself. Okay. So when I ask for the introduction, it's pretty much, like, a classroom introduction, like the general,
Okay, well, hey everyone, my name is Aisha Campbell. I am a senior aerospace engineering major with a minor in communications, hailing from the city that never sleeps, Brooklyn, New York. And I am just so excited for you to have me on your podcast, Ebony. Like, literally been exciting. I just apologize about my voice. I just was screaming a lot yesterday from the probate. But I'm just so excited, you know, to share my story with you and just have a conversation and to talk. Like, because it's something that I love to do. Mm-hmm. So let's do it.
Okay. So I'm going to start off by just telling you why I wanted to speak with you.
Okay.
So you are, what year are you?
A senior. Yes.
So I've seen you, I'm a junior, mm-hmm. so I've seen you around, you know, just this beautiful person with this big
smile,
and she's just so outgoing, so I would always see Aisha just out and about and smiling and just like, okay, like, who is this girl? And so one day, like, I was on Instagram, and I was scrolling through, and I just saw you, like, really just living. I'm talking about living. I'm talking about traveling, mm-hmm. still smiling, and just doing all of these amazing things. But it was like, you made it seem so regular. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You were just living your life. And so that really captured me. And I was just like, I need to know more about her. So this interview is also a chance, like I said, for me to get to know you.
So nice.
That's cool. So I'm going to start off with just, I know you have a love for skiing. So I want to talk about that first.
Okay.
Like, why do you love Tuskegee so much?
I love Tuskegee because it has definitely groomed me into the woman that I am today. You know, being from Brooklyn, New York, you know, the first thing that people say is like, oh, she's hood or she's loud and this. Mm-hmm. But quite frankly, a lot of people are just like, wow, she is not your typical New Yorker, mm-hmm. especially knowing that she's from Brooklyn. You know, when I first got here my freshman year, it was like, oh, I just hated the world. I hated people. It was like, you talking to me? You want to fight? Like, what's going on? Like, who are you? I was ready. You know, and then, you know, I ended up joining Air Force ROTC my freshman and sophomore year, and it just taught me so much discipline, you know, just how to be calm and, you know, relaxed, and there's no need to just get upset with everybody, and, you know, just listening and understanding what other people have to say. So I definitely thank Air Force for that. And, you know, it's just some people that, you know, we were in the program together, and it's like, wow, Aisha, you really, really changed as a person, and just my attitude and my demeanor, you know, because you really don't want to come off the wrong way to people, mm-hmm. you know, like, that's just a turn off.
Yeah.
Completely. And it's just like, wow, when I say that, it's like, wow, you were really like that? It's not like I was just ready to fight every and anything. It's just that, like, why are you talking to me?
Yeah, it was easy to get you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, it takes a lot to get me mad, really, mm-hmm. you know, and
you have a different perspective.
Definitely. And I just love Tuskegee, you know, just coming from this big, loud, busy city, mm-hmm. you know, to this really calm and collect and literally little small city, you know, it's just like, it really, you really just get an insight, and it just shows you that everywhere in the world is not like New York.
Right.
It's not the same, and the people are different, the culture is different, and it's just an amazing thing, because I would have never thought I would have found myself in the South.
Right.
And here I am.
Living,
you know,
it up.
Living
is,
it.
Is it, do you feel like this is kind of where, so I know you've traveled a mm-hmm. lot. So what was your travel like before you got to Tuskegee?
Sure. Well, first of all, my parents are Hispanic. Both of my parents are Costa Rican. So we all come from a Hispanic background.
Mm-hmm. Is Spanish your first language?
English is my first.
English.
Spanish, my second.
Okay.
So my parents used to take me and my brothers, we used to travel way before Tuskegee. I mean, family vacations every summer. And by the time I learned how to use a computer, my parents had me booking the trips. And I think that right there is what got me so excited.
Right.
Because I'm finding out the deals, the flight deals. I'm starting to get familiar with the airlines and what you should look for and stuff. And I think that was it. It was like, wow, I just love doing
traveling,
this. And
like,
I want to do this. I love this.
That is so
I guess I have my parents to thank for that. So that's truly amazing.
And so how did you end up in the South? Like, why Tuskegee? How did you end up here?
Tuskegee gave me the most money.
I love that.
Out of all of the schools that I applied to, Tuskegee gave me the most. And which is crazy because I've always wanted to be like Mae Jemison growing up. I wanted to major like her. I wanted to look like her. I wanted to do everything like her. So I did get into Cornell University, which is the school that she attended. But it cost like two arms and a leg, which I didn't have to get. So I guess that's just a big pill that I had to swallow. And I had to come to the realization that, okay, Aisha, you could still be an aerospace engineer. You just won't get your degree from Cornell University.
Okay, and where did this Mae Jemison, like, where did you, why her? Like,
I just always love space. I love astronauts. I love the idea of space and time. That's really my biggest thing, time. You know, just the idea of time is just so crazy. Like, who decided it to be 2:57 p.m. right now? Who? Like, how? You know, so I just wanted to find someone who had the same interests as I did. And I did a project on her maybe like in the third or fourth grade, and it was like, wow, she is such an amazing woman. Being the first African American woman in space, you know, it was monumental.
It was
growing up. You
and
know?
Wasn't she here last year?
Yes, she came for the Lyceum series. And once again, I was just so blessed to be on that committee, you know, to select those speakers. And it was so amazing.
Just imagine. First of all, just having her here and coming to speak, like,
yeah, that
okay,
alone.
History is sitting in my face.
Literally.
That, but for you to have such a close personal tie with her,
yeah.
And then you were on, you were, well, I'm going to ask you about your campus involvement.
Sure.
So you've been at Tuskegee. I think of you kind of like as an OG. Like, you've been doing it. You've been doing it well. So you said you got to meet her. So can you kind of explain to people what your role was, how you were able to meet her at the Lyceum?
Yeah, so at the time when I was at SGA, the year of 2016, my president at the SGA, president at the time, Malik, he recommended me to President Johnson at the time that I would be a great fit to be one of the student representatives on the board.
Oh,
so
okay.
Once I got that email and that recommendation, I was like, oh my goodness, me? Like, out of all the students, you pick
right?
me?
Right.
So I was just so excited about that. And, you know, just meeting every week, you know, with the president, the chief of staff, and all of his cabinet members to see who all of the students like to see. You know, we want to get art.
And that position, was that still SGA? You were involved in SGA?
Well, yes, I was at SGA at the time, but when I was selected, I was just a regular old student.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Malik, after you served your term on SGA 2016, Malik gave that recommendation.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
So it was like around this time, spring leading into fall, because the following fall I was no longer an SGA. So I was just a regular student.
Okay.
So it was just amazing to meet every week with the executive board, because it's not you don't get to see them every day. And, you know, just to see what the budget was like, and to see, we wanted to get people from the arts, science, math, you know, the STEM field, you know. So, you know, I made the recommendation, hey, we should get Mae Jemison. What do you guys think? And everyone was like, wow, like, this may be a good, so, you know,
yeah.
It got on the list, you know, just like all the rest of the names, and, you know, just had to reach out. Well, you know, the executive board ended up reaching out to her, her people and stuff, and then probably like a couple weeks leading up, and when I found out that she was going to be one of the speakers, I cried. I was just like,
man.
I literally wanted to meet this woman.
And not
for years,
but it's like the involvement that you had with meeting her, like,
yeah.
You brought her here,
and just having that one-on-one, it's just like, am I really speaking to you right now? Like, you are Mae Jemison, like the first number one. I literally cried. I just couldn't believe that I was sitting in front of history. literally a monumental moment for me, just being at Tuskegee. And, you know, I just had to thank God and, you know, Malik just for giving me the opportunity to serve, you know, and to be on the board. And, you know, just, it was just so amazing. And I'm definitely grateful for that experience.
Truly. I mean, I didn't hear her speak, unfortunately. I didn't mm-hmm. get a chance to. But, and that's the cool thing. That's why I like to interview people, because it's just like, I really didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I yeah. came in here and I thought I knew.
Yeah.
But it's just like, wow. You were a major part in bringing her here.
Yeah.
And then you got to meet your idol. So that's absolutely incredible. Like,
truly
it's incredible. So you've been at Tuskegee, you've mm-hmm. been involved. So this is your, when do you graduate?
I graduate in December.
Okay.
But I only have one class in December left.
Okay, so you're
basically
much,
done.
Yeah, you're basically done.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, or what do you believe your responsibility is or was? Well, you're still a student. What do you think your responsibility is as a student here?
I feel like now that I've already exhausted all of my hands, I guess I should say, just being a part of so many organizations and clubs, I just feel like now my main role is just to inspire other students, to let them know, like, it's okay to participate in this, and it's okay to want to be a part of this organization, just to go out there and to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's so funny when people come up to me and they're just like, oh, you did this and that so many years ago. I'm just like, wow, you remember that? I don't even remember that. Like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know one thing my mom has always told me, that there's always someone watching you. You just never know what you're doing. And that's why it's always good to be on your P's and Q's at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And to just behave yourself and to just act ladylike or gentlemanlike.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just never know who you're inspiring
at all. That's dope.
So I just think it's so great, you know, just when people come up to me and they ask me for advice for certain things that I've done,
mm-hmm.
for things that they want to do. So I think that's literally my role now, just
to be a vessel, really, because
mm-hmm.
I mean, you've done so much, and you've studied abroad,
mm-hmm.
which I definitely want to talk about as
yeah.
well. But you've done like so many different, you've kind of hit almost every place that you can, which
right.
is, you know, amazing that we get to, well, I don't know if all the students, you know who you are, which is why I wanted to record your story.
Definitely.
And put that out there, because we do get to utilize you. You know what I'm saying? I get to have these conversations
Definitely.
With you, or I get to just see you. And a lot of times people don't really realize, like, these are the students, the ones that are involved in this, the people who I want to speak to
mm-hmm.
are the people that may not, like, you're popular, but that's what I'm trying to say, is like, people may overlook you as far as like all of your coolness that's
mm-hmm.
inside, you
right.
know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's cool. So why, okay, well, I know, well, let's talk about study abroad.
Okay.
What year did you start studying abroad, and where did you go?
Well, I actually worked abroad.
Okay.
So the head of engineering, aerospace engineering, Dr. Khan, he, at the time, they just had all of these different engineering work experiences that we could do, you know, for the summer. And he had just told me, he was like, Aisha, here, apply to China. I was like, okay, what would I be doing? I'm like, what? You're trying to send me literally to the other side of the planet. Like, what am I going to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, that's when I ended up picking up my minor in communications.
Oh, okay.
So I ended up working at a school. It was beautiful. So I was in Beijing, China, Beijing and Dalian. And I worked with this school, basically teaching the students the fundamental of aerospace engineering. So not only was I able to use and utilize my communication skills, but I was also able to sprinkle some engineering in there. And these children, they're literally the smartest people I probably ever met. And it's insane. Like, I worked with students from the ages of 8 to 16, and they had the choice of picking either music, which was taught by another student, and engineering
mm-hmm.
With me. So majority of the students did go to music, because it's like, hey, music. But of course, all the cool kids came to me,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I thought that was really, really cool. And I just taught them, you know, basically, since I'm not a teacher, you know, I told them, what do you guys want me to teach? You know, and they told me everything that they wanted to learn, which was, of course, like the planets, the ISS,
NASA. Did they
NASA.
Take this type of curriculum, like, normally at that age in China? Like, did they have an introduction to space or had the opportunity to learn about space?
No, they didn't. Okay. And I thought that that was the upper hand. You know, it's just something when you just see things on TV or you see things on the internet. But it's like, it's so much better when you have someone that's actually knowledgeable on that subject to teach you. Someone that actually has hands-on with those kind of experiences and is able to tell you about those things. And what I think was so cool was that they already knew how to speak English. English is their second language.
Okay,
so cool. It's like, I'm having a conversation with a 16-year-old and it's like, wow, your English is like so great. This is like amazing.
I was going to ask you about that too. Like, yeah. Was there any language barrier, especially with trying to teach about...
Yeah.
Space,
so the school that we were at, it's basically an English school.
Oh,
yes, yeah. Chinese is there. Well, Mandarin is their first language, but the school is taught in English.
Okay.
So they go through the American lifestyle. So they have like Christmas and they have our actual New Year, which is January 1st and everything. So I thought that was really, really cool. That's so it's basically like being in America, just not in America. So I thought that was really, really cool.
That was cool.
And so amazing.
That was your first
was
abroad
my,
experience
yes.
with the school.
Yes.
Okay. So I did see you at a global fair one time. It was when it was being hosted in Henderson, and you had your display, but that was what you were doing. So
yes.
It was more a work abroad type of experience. And did you go anywhere else with the school after that?
No, that was my only study, well, working abroad experience with Tuskegee.
Okay, cool. And so then going back to your Instagram, I think it was last summer, I saw you pretty much everywhere. So. Where did you go last summer?
Okay, so basically, last spring semester, I co-opted with American Airlines, and I was in Dallas, Texas, and I had the opportunity of working as an in-flight entertainment engineer. So that's basically for my non-sciencey people out there.
Important.
Think of... I worked with the 777-200, so think of the big planes. Inside of the big planes, you have the seat backs where you can watch like your movies and play your games. So I worked with the systems inside of that, inside of the planes. And every single light that you all seen inside of the airplane, I worked on that.
Oh.
So every single light on an airplane is accounted for, has a meaning, has a purpose. Nothing on an aircraft is unaccounted for. So that's what I worked with.
Oh, cool.
So, of course, one of the benefits with that was traveling.
Yes.
My favorite. So, every weekend, I was gone.
Every weekend?
Talking about I came to work with my suitcase.
Oh,
and I was gone.
Goodness.
I was gone. My mentor was like, oh, my goodness. I just slow down. I'm like, I gotta go. If the flights were good, I'm gone.
So, Monday through Friday, you said you left on the weekends. What did Monday through Friday look like? Were you on aircrafts looking and testing and all that stuff?
So it depended on what my project was for that day, but my overall huge project was changing out the sidewall lights. So that consisted of contacting vendors, seeing to it that, you know, we have all the parts, make sure all the part numbers are correct, that they were all logged, that it was just so much. But I just love because the hangar was only like 10 minutes away from where I worked. So I worked at headquarters, which was like 6 minutes from the airport. So, you know, you could pull up the Snapchat filter. I could right there on my desk. I could pull it up and everything. So the hangar was only like 10 minutes away.
Is that the airport hangar?
So the hangar is like a part of the airport, basically.
Okay.
So that's where the planes go to get maintenance, cleaned.
And that's where you would have to go when you did have to go to the airport and work. Okay.
Yes.
And so why did they have you traveling every weekend?
Oh, they didn't. It was, once it's a benefit. So that's something that I decided to do. But I did have one business trip, and that's when I went to Hong Kong. And that was based on the project that I was actually working on with the company. But every other, Hong Kong, I think, that's not on my Instagram since that was like work related. And so I didn't put that on there. But everywhere else, it was all me.
And where all did you go?
Wow. I've been to most parts of Europe. I've been to Rome.
Okay, so these weekend trips were to Europe?
Like, I went to Europe, Asia, South America. Australia, New Zealand.
Wow.
Central America.
And you were just doing touristy things while you were there. So you just got to get up, travel.
And just basically just live life for real, you know, because life is not meant to be lived in one place. And I feel like if you have the opportunity to go, then go, you know. So, and I guess one thing, I will really be in these countries for sometimes no more than 48 hours. Because if I leave Friday, I won't get there till Saturday morning.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I have the entire Saturday, Sunday, and I'll probably leave like Sunday night just to be back on work, be back to work on Monday morning. So sometimes I'll go back to work exhausted.
Like, but I mean, crazy. Think about what
you
just
it was
did,
worth it.
Like,
oh yeah.
4 hours
definitely.
Ago.
Like, it's so crazy. And it's just like my mentors, you know, since they're like older, you know, they have family, they don't travel, you know. So where'd you go, Aisha? How was your trip? Did you bring me back something? I'll be like, yeah, here's your keychain. Here you go. Okay. So they just really just used to live through me with that. And I loved it so much. I just never thought that I'd be able to go to these parts of the... I've traveled 112,000 miles in 8 months. That's probably the most miles that a lot of people can
travel
in
their life.
You know, and I did that all in 8 months. So that was...
That is incredible.
Ridiculous. And I think the farthest place I've been was New Zealand. And I went there for my birthday. I was there for 5 days. So I had 2 birthdays just because of the time change. So because it's already tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I got there, I lost the day. And then when I came back, I gained the day. So it was just amazing experience.
Right.
Really.
Oh my goodness. And man, so no flex. You really were like,
I was really like,
you was really gone.
I was gone like every weekend. I can't even tell you what Texas was like because I was never there, only for work.
That's cool. So, I mean, the next question was, do you believe that students should travel abroad? And you did say that that was true. And my first study abroad experience was to the Dominican Republic, which is where I went last year. And just being from Texas, so my mom, she went to school like near the valley, which is like the border of Mexico. So she learned Spanish college, and then she spoke to us growing up in Spanish. And then being from Houston, like the Mexican culture is like lit. I love the Mexican culture. Well, I love the Spanish culture. I have a huge respect for it just because of how I grew up and where I grew up. And so studying abroad in the DR was definitely different. And even like the type of Spanish or the type of Spanish people that I was interacting with, and the history of the DR, so like having to learn about that. And then so basically the way that it worked for my study abroad trip was we learned about the history before we went. So we learned about like what happened, certain things that their cultures go through and stuff like that. And so when we got there, you know, we were kind of in it and we were able to live their life, which was just really cool. And on top of that, it was a cruise. So so it was a service trip initially. So we were in the schools with the kids for a little bit. Really just being like philanthropists, really. And that was fulfilling.
Yeah.
So just, I know that I want to travel a lot more, definitely trying to get outside of the country, and just do that and be fulfilled with giving. I feel like that trip was also, that helped me to realize that giving, like, that makes me happy. Having I have a serving heart, and being able to pinpoint that now kind of helped me to kind of get closer onto the path of living in my purpose and walking in that and stuff. And so I would also encourage people to, especially Black students, to take the opportunity. Some of us may not be, you know, as fortunate to travel with our parents or to have an introduction to other of just being abroad before we got to school. So just taking advantage of the opportunities, you know, sign up for a class or, you know, figure out if it's, you know, payments or money and stuff. Like,
like I was saying one day on a when I was speaking at a study abroad panel, like just take the steps that you need to in order to get there, and things will fall into place. You know what I'm saying? So.
And I think one of the big things too is I know like when we had like the global just this past couple of months ago, and you know they were giving out the free passports.
I got one,
and it's like there's a lot of people were just like, Aisha, I just got my passport, now I could travel with you. I'm just like, and I think just having a passport alone is just like such, I don't know, it's such a great feeling to say like this is literally your ticket, you know,
to be able to
go anywhere in the world. Like, actually, I think I have my passport.
Ooh,
I do.
I'll show you.
And I just
stamp his port. And mine, I wasn't, when I went to the DR, I wasn't able to get mine stamped because I didn't have my passport when I went to the DR, actually.
Oh, cool. You have yours in a little...
I do.
Is this a passport wallet?
Case?
Yeah. I wasn't going to call it a case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
But for some countries, sometimes, you know, you have to take it off because, I mean, this could look like anything. You know, so I think I have about 28 stamps in there.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I see China. What is this?
So when you for some time when you come back into the United States, they stamp you like admitted. So
So these are just welcome back stamps.
Some of them, yeah. Like the blue with red writing for the most part are the ones are like welcome back into the United States. So
Frankfurt, Maine. Is that a welcome back? Where's Frankfurt?
Germany.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking it said like the main, like our main, but that's not it.
And it's Germany and this is Paris.
And when you went to these countries, did you like take trains because they were so close?
Before, you know, I usually tell a lot of people whenever I travel, I don't just pick up and go. I always do research on every single country that I go to. I'm talking about I need to know where the embassy is in case anything happens.
That's cool.
I need to know everything, you know. And it's not to say like, oh, you need to keep your guard up the entire time, but you know, sometimes being abroad, you know, people are crazy. You know, like, it's just so much happening in the world right now. And you just need to be prepared in case anything happens.
I mean, you could go into a country and wear a hat and didn't know that you were supposed to be wearing a hat.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So exactly. I just feel like doing that cultural investigation,
so important.
It's a part of your protection.
It's so important, and that goes for like a country like Dubai. Everybody wants to go to Dubai, but they're so strict, you know, with the type of clothing that women wear or the type of things that you could do, you know, drinking and clubbing. Like, they're very strict, but people won't know that until they end up in jail. And they will legit arrest you and ban you from their country. Like, that's how strict they are. Like, it's insane. You know, so definitely, you know, do your research. It's very, very, very important. Literally to your life.
Perfects.
Like, literally.
Perfects.
But I mean, it's such an amazing opportunity nonetheless. But, you know, you just always want to make sure that you know what you're doing and what you're getting yourself into. Even if you're there for a day, a couple of hours, or even a couple of minutes, you just never know.
Good travel practices.
Definitely. Travel safe.
Right. We are getting ready to wrap up, but before we go, I'm going to ask the last question, which is, are you leaving your mark at Tuskegee? Because originally this, I wanted to talk about leaving your mark and kind of like what that is, but I did want to get more into Aisha first, so it's going to be the Aisha story, but you can give a glimpse of just are you leaving your mark? And I guess you could also give us a definition of what it is or what it means to leave your mark, or what you think that means.
Okay, well, first of all, leaving your mark just means that you've done what God has sent you to do for this chapter of your life. You know, just seeing that people actually remember who you are, remember what you've done, because that's the first thing that people will remember, how you made them feel. You know, so it's just a great feeling knowing that people could come back to you and say, hey, can you help me with this? Can you help me with something that you've done X, Y, and Z years ago or whatever? You know, I feel like that right there just makes me happy. And it just makes me feel like I've actually done something. You know, I left something on Tuskegee's campus. And that just makes me so happy.
Yeah.
So I definitely think, and I definitely think that I'm leaving my mark on Tuskegee's campus. Like,
I think you have, and
sometimes, you know, it's like I wake up and it's like, dang, what am I gonna do today? Because I definitely want to be better than I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what every day is for, just becoming better at what you did, you know, and just inspiring and just making other people happy. You know, it's like the simple things for me, really.
It's more to life.
Definitely.
And I'm definitely figuring that out as well. Just me going on my own journey, man. Like, I've learned so much about myself. Like, I'm not even the same person that I was, like, 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. 5 days ago, I was... I mean, and it's just, and then it's a humbling experience because I get to do it here at Tuskegee, and it's like, you know, one day I woke up and I was just like, wow, like, I'm here.
Yeah.
I am living in such a historical place where so many greats have come and just walked through, and I get to come here every day, or just wake up here every day and be a student and get to go after my dreams. And
truly amazing. It's amazing.
It's amazing, and it's a very humbling experience.
Definitely.
And then being able to do it amongst others, just beautiful spirits, you know what I'm saying, and beautiful souls and people who are trying to figure it out and trying to get to it and trying to do it. And I think that for me, I think that my junior year was really like the Tuskegee woman was definitely found, and that's exciting for me. And so to be here with you and just everything is just happening right now. Look at life.
I know. It's truly, truly amazing. And I'm definitely just so honored that I could be on your podcast to share my story, you know, for others out there, you know, because it's truly an amazing journey, you know. And I mean, we just have so much far to go. Like, this is literally probably only the beginning. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It is.
It's crazy. Like, just think about it. Like, because I always tell myself, like, you know, Ebony, like, this is, like, the best version of yourself that, you know, has ever existed. And I do believe that it's only going to get better.
It can only get better.
That's what I think is making life so sweet. Mm-hmm. Even when it can be sour, is that it will get better.
Always.
It is going to
You know,
get
and
better.
I always tell my brothers, like, it's not going to rain forever. It can't. Mm-hmm. You know, the sun will shine.
Ooh,
the sun will shine. It's going to be nice, bright, and hot.
Well, Aisha, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I mean, I just saw something in you, and I just wanted to give you a space.
Thank
you, know?
You.
And I think that's what it's about, is helping each other. Although I have my own endeavors that I'm doing with the podcast and everything like that, and I'm sharing my journey on the podcast, which is the platform of why I have it, but also getting other people to share their stories and just, you know, being open and to do it at a place where I am right now, which is at Tuskegee.
Yep.
And I do believe that we will be greats.
Always.
We are greats.
We are.
Already. We're
literally
walking in it. And so just to have this documented and for us to have the opportunity to do this really means a lot. And so just thanking you again.
Thank you so
much.
And
so we're wrapping up. Y'all, Aisha, can they follow you, like, on socials? Or?
Yes. You guys can follow me on Instagram at Cadet Campbell. That's Campbell. Because everyone always forgets the P. It's
right.
So crazy. Same with Snapchat and with Facebook. It's my name, Aisha Campbell. So hope you guys follow me, and thank you all so much.
Yes, thank you guys for tuning in for another episode. And this is the Aisha Campbell story. You heard it here first. Thank you all for tuning in and listening to us and what we had to say. We appreciate you. And until next time, this is Ebony B signing out.